normally we have you in to talk about PG&E and the wildfires and such. We're kind of taking a different tack today.
For my prior life.
Yes. I did not know until today that you were once a sexual assault prosecutor?
In Lake County.
Lake County.
Lake County. So wow. I handled sexual assault cases involving adults and kids and domestic violence.
Oh.
So the things that were brought up today, especially with Dr. Ford in the morning, really, it hit home pretty hard. Pretty hard. And I don't know how many of your viewers had a chance to watch or listen.
Boy, we did. And we ran it live here on KSRO.
And some of the things that you look for as a prosecutor in deciding whether, because these crimes almost always happen, just it's a he said, she said.
Exactly. Well, today.
And which, in a sense, like today. And so you look at demeanor. You look at why would they be coming forward, a reason to lie. And things like that. And every fiber of my being, based on my years, both I prosecuted, I've also defended a fair few of them, she was telling the truth. And that's what made it all the more heartbreaking, because in the afternoon, of course, the GOP senators threw out the whole have the prosecutor do her thing to absolutely start railing, which to me, at least, because I did politics before I did the law. It put such a horrible spin on it that, in a sense, women were being victimized all over again. They're not believed.
Right.
And it really pisses me off. I understand if you're wrongfully accused, you should defend yourself. But if you're somebody who's angling for a Supreme Court position, have some empathy. But it wasn't me, and here's why, rationally. Instead, we have this spit-flying, absolutely angry man, and we have a special delivery. Because after a long day of watching complete insanity in Washington, D.C., there is a Lagunitas IPA that just appeared as if by magic.
Well, it's great that you came in just before we go to the drive. Brouhaha, you got locked out there.
The timing couldn't have worked out better. But it's really disheartening, because there are so many women and girls who have been the victim of sexual assault, domestic violence, who have not stepped up, who have not stepped forward.
Right.
This is not going to encourage them. And I think in the year 2018, which allegedly we're in, we are...
It's hard to tell sometimes.
Well, if you're looking on the left side of the dais at all of the white male GOP senators, we were somewhere between 1950 and 1972. And I thought we were a little past that, and that's speaking from someone who for most of my life was a Republican, and the party has gone so far away from what I thought we were at one time that I left it. I couldn't take it anymore. Yeah. I left it.
Well, give me some more reasons with your expertise in this on this subject as why you are convinced with every fiber of your being that she was completely telling the truth. I mean, I believe it, but...
Okay. If somebody is...
I only play an attorney on the radio. I'm not really an attorney.
A trained professional. Why would she lie? She has had her life completely upended.
Yep.
She had to leave her home. She had reporters crashing her classes at Stanford, where I believe she is a professor of clinical psychology. She has received death threats. So what is it exactly in it for her? That's number one. Number two, she was honest about gaps in memory. This is 36 years ago.
Yeah.
So the passage of time, it is normal to not have a complete recall of everything, which is really ironic because Senator Cornyn of Texas and Senator Graham of South Carolina were both former prosecutors who I think would know better. So she was honest about the things she did not remember. She was honest about the things she was not sure about, which brings up kind of another issue. When victims of child sex abuse at the hands of the Catholic Church came forward, almost all boys, and they came forward decades later, we as a society embraced them. We affirmed their pain. We recognized that they were telling the truth, and we went after priests with a vengeance. You now see states suing the Catholic Church. We had priest after priest sent away for molestation, and this was decades afterwards. Yet this woman came forward 30 to 35 years later, and you have a segment of society that embraced her and the other that went absolutely flapjack crazy and have pounded on her ever since. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And my phone's been blowing up like everybody else's about these issues. And friends of mine from overseas, from Europe, are asking, what the hell are you people doing? What is going wrong with your society? And I don't really have an answer. But when a victim of sexual assault comes forward a long time later, you cannot expect them to have full recall of every detail. And if they do, probably they're lying. So those are the reasons why I think she's telling the truth, along with her demeanor.
Yeah.
And it just, to me, it took a lot of courage, because that was ugly.
Completely.
It was really ugly.
And, you know, the mayhem that occurred in some ways, I find it entertaining but so sad. I want to cry and laugh at the same time, like when Lindsey Graham went ballistic. He's great at going ballistic.
I thought the guy was going to stroke out.
Yeah.
And I know at least part of that was staged, and maybe he's interviewing for the attorney general job because Sessions is on his way out.
One of our previous guests just said.
It could be. It could be, but he was so far overboard that – and. The fact is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think any of the 11 men on the GOP side had anything really to say about Dr. Ford, the tone, tenor of her testimony, what she said. They ignored it. They went after the Democrats. They went after the process rather than address the merits of it, which to me is really sad.
And Kavanaugh came out looking for a fight. That was fascinating to me, the way, you know.
I mean, I can understand being indignant because I've represented people wrongfully accused, but you're a judge on the D.C. Circuit, and he said that it was a partisan hit job, you people.
Talking about Democrats, right. And he brought up Hillary Clinton, for God's sake.
He did. So
is he going to have to recuse himself?
That was my next point, because what happens now if he gets seated on the Supreme Court and there's something where you have a Democratic lawyer or a Democratic Party issue, or the Democrats are trying to do X, Y, and Z, the first thing they're going to do is say, hey, guy, well, let's look at the transcript of your hearing. You need to recuse yourself, which is going to create an issue that the Supreme Court has very rarely had to deal with, and it's an issue that he created by completely coming unglued rather than taking a little more measured approach, empathy, because, you know, she said it from the heart. It wasn't me. I totally understand, and I've sat on cases involving sexual assault, for example, he could say, but this is why it didn't happen. Instead, he went all the way the other way, and to me, that really strikes it as hollow. And he didn't want an FBI investigation.
Right.
He doesn't want a polygraph.
He just kept saying, as far as the FBI investigation, whatever the committee wants, whatever the committee wants, because he knows the committee doesn't want that.
Right. He's a political operative. Remember, he did the whole Star investigation thing. He knows the process in and out. He knows that those guys are going to back him, so he can say that and keep the high ground. He doesn't want a polygraph, and he doesn't want to talk to the FBI because he knows the FBI can drill down. And if we had some information from the FBI and subpoenaed in Mark Judge, who I guess is in the witness protection program hiding out on a beach in Delaware somewhere. He wrote a memoir that completely paints this picture of what was going on. And even Kavanaugh's own friends were talking about what a belligerent drunk he is.
Yeah, and his name was in that memoir.
It was.
From the judge guy.
Slightly fictionalized just to take that little edge off.
Yeah, it didn't say Brett. It said Bart or something. Bart. Kavanaugh.
Yeah, Bart McCavin something. And of course it was him. And it sort of fits the profile because sometimes people are happy drunks. And sometimes people are mean drunks. That was Judge Richard Freeborn in Clear Lake Municipal Court who used to say that. And he said that years ago, and it's absolutely true. There are some people who don't hold their liquor, and perhaps Kavanaugh's one of them. And now he's on the threshold of being shoved onto the Supreme Court. It's crazy.
Somebody, obviously, in all the meetings that he had, be it at the White House or with whoever he was meeting with prior to this thing today, somebody obviously told him, here's a good thing to say, oh well, she may have been assaulted sexually by somebody, but it wasn't me.
Yeah,
you know, kind of saying, instead of calling her a liar, but yeah, then, it could have happened, but it wasn't me.
But then he called out is it Senator Klobuchar from
Klobuchar
from Minnesota, yeah, asking her if she ever blacked out. And I believe it's her father that's going to AA and has had to deal with it. It's just insane.
She said that.
Why and would you say that?
And they made him, his people or the GOP made him apologize to Klobuchar after a break.
Somebody slapped him upside the head during the break and said, you got to dial it back. Just, just completely nuts. But the interesting thing is there are so many talented, well-spoken, well-written conservative judges they could have nominated. And this would never have been a thing. Instead, they shoved up the most partisan of operatives who has this issue because I'm not sure Trump and the Federalist Society and the Judicial Crisis Network, which Koch brothers or somebody sponsors, they wanted this guy because he's the most out there of all of them. I guess they didn't really do any digging, so now they're in the middle of this.
And I said to somebody, because we've talked about it all day, obviously, I said to somebody, why didn't they just cut their losses? There's other conservative people out there, you know, who could probably sail through. And when this all came down a few weeks ago, and then it started, you know, this whole thing today, I mean, you'd think they'd go, okay. But Trump isn't going to listen to him.
You know, the Bushes may have, but Donald Trump never makes a mistake, and Donald Trump is never wrong, and he was not going to allow that to happen.
Right.
So it just means nuclear war instead.
We've got the Klobuchar exchange. Now, Mike, hit the clip.
Hey, drinking is one thing, but the concern is about truthfulness. And in your written testimony, you said sometimes you had too many drinks. Was there ever a time when you drank so much that you couldn't remember what happened or part of what happened the night before?
No, I remember what happened, and I think you've probably had beers, Senator, and so
you're saying there's never been a case where you drank so much that you didn't remember what happened the night before or part of what happened?
That's, you're asking about, blackout. I don't know. Have you?
Could you answer the question, Judge? That's not happened. Is that your answer?
Yeah, and I'm curious if you have.
I have no drinking problem, Judge.
Yeah, nor do I.
Okay, thank you.
Just going to say, I started my last colloquy by saying to Senator Klobuchar how much I respect her and respected what she did at the last hearing, and she asked me a question at the end that I responded by asking her a question, and I didn't, sorry I did that. This is a tough process. I'm sorry about that.
I appreciate that. I would like to add, when you have a parent that's alcoholic, you're pretty careful about drinking. And the second thing is I was truly just trying to get to the bottom of the facts and the evidence. And I, again, believe we do that by opening up the FBI investigation. And I would call it a background check instead of investigation. Thank you.
Yes, we drank beer.
We're making tools to help you participate in the...
We drank beer. The drinking age, as I noted, was 18. So the seniors were legal. Senior year in high school, people were legal to drink, and we drank beer, and I said sometimes probably had too many beers, and sometimes other people had too many beers.
What
we drank beer, we liked beer.
What do you consider to be too many beers?
I don't know. Whatever the chart says on your blood alcohol chart.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really interesting things is when you look at enough suspect interview tapes and you get somebody on the ropes who's a criminal defendant, there are times, especially in cases like this, homicides, sex crimes, that the suspect will turn the question and ask a question back, sort of a reflective sort of thing, which we saw here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that it's like a talisman that he's absolutely lying. But that sort of deflection, along with some of the other things that he was doing during the hearing, really make you wonder, okay, dude, what is it that you're hiding? Especially when you look at the other things that have come out about his drinking habits. He didn't want to go there, and he knew the GOP wouldn't make him go talk to the FBI.
Right.
So he's trying to deflect and run out that five-minute clock per senator, except he really did it poorly with the Minnesota senator.
Yes, and had to... As you said, somebody slapped him upside the head and said, go apologize to Amy Klobuchar.
Because we were in unknown territory. I mean, I've looked at the confirmation hearings going back to Clarence Thomas, and there's never been a confirmation hearing like this one. And we were in such the other world territory, that the rules, whatever rules there might have been thrown out. And it's true that people like Lindsey Graham had voted for people like RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He voted for her.
Yeah.
And she is a liberal justice. But he voted for her because she's qualified. And here, this guy may be qualified in a sense, but he's also so partisan. Plus, he has the issue of honesty. Plus, he has the issue of whether or not he likes to throw himself on women if he's drinking. And when you put those three together, and you have so many good people who could be on that bench, very conservative because Trump wants that.
Yeah.
Why bother with him?
Right. That's what I said all day. Why don't they cut their losses and, you know, they can get someone else that they'll like?
That, but no, Trump does not listen to anyone.
No, you're right. No, you just said that, and no.
He took a cue from Kavanaugh today, that Kavanaugh was up and screaming, which Trump loves.
Right.
So now Trump is thrown down, and you can bet that the West Wing is working the phones because Murkowski and Collins and Flake, I think he'll probably fold like a cheap suit, and Sass of Nebraska was acting like he might be fair because he said some of the right things, but I think he's going to fold too. So it's going to come down to those two female senators.
And those four, Manchin just met last hour privately at the Capitol to discuss all this. So
they did.
These are the moderate Republicans.
Well, and Manchin's a Democrat, but
his
concern is health care, because West Virginia is, if the Affordable Care Act goes away, West Virginia is screwed, and they're at the forefront of the opioid epidemic, and he knows that this guy will throw it all out. So he has his own problem with this guy, but Manchin needs cover. And if he knows that there are two Republicans that will vote against it, that seals the deal on the nomination, so he and the other red state Democrats could then vote against and have their own reasons for it and have some cover.
Right, and then it's over.
Then it's over, and we can then move to somebody who's well-qualified, who doesn't have 35 years of baggage to come with them.
Right, exactly. Man, from the get-go, when he walked in today and sat down, I just thought, this guy's an a-hole.
Oh, you said Kavanaugh?
Yeah.
Well, wait, I'm just like, which one? No.
Well, there's a lot of them.
I don't blame him for being a bit indignant, but a 45-minute rant followed by some of the games he was playing during the Democratic questioning really make you wonder what he wants to hide. And then the GOP dropped any pretense of trying to ask questions, and they scream about process and throw bricks at Feinstein and the like. To me, it just sort of deflated everything, because this morning's episode with Dr. Ford was so amazing and so powerful that everybody on the GOP side was running scared, and they figured they had to blow the whole thing up to have any chance.
Yeah, I agree completely, and they tried. We shall see. God, it was an amazing day.
It was, and this was only one day.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow?
I don't even want to know. We're going to D.C. next week. I hope there's not rioting in the streets. That's all I
There could be quite a few protests, because I think they'll have the floor vote next week in the Senate.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys could bring your party to the steps of the Senate, and or maybe get into the gallery, and you could see quite a floor show.
We'll bring Kavanaugh beer.
Absolutely.
We hear he likes it.
And popcorn. Don't forget the popcorn.
One last thing. The woman prosecutor they brought in from Arizona, I don't think she did them any good. They got rid of her before the Kavanaugh thing. I mean, she didn't get anything out of Dr. Ford.
She couldn't rip on Dr. Ford, and Grassley decided to have these five-minute segments, so she didn't have enough time. I think what she's trying to do is pick apart her statement gently to raise inconsistencies, and it came across as a dud. And then somebody screamed at the GOP over the lunch break that you guys have to change it up, which is why Graham then went on his completely stroke-inducing rant to then have everybody else, the GOP, do it. Unfortunately, she was put in a bad position, and she couldn't carry their water. And so in the end, they decided they had to just throw a Hail Mary and see what happens.
Yeah. Unbelievable. That's the word we use every day for the last 2 years.
Stay tuned for some more.
Santa Rosa attorney, excuse me, Roy Miller. Give everyone the update on the fire situation as we come up close on the one-year anniversary.
We don't use the word anniversary.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's for celebration.
You're right. You're right.
things are going great with the PG&E case. We have depositions lined up for the next 2 or 3 months, and PG&E is threatening to want to take some cases to trial, starting with the Tubbs cases. I said, great, let's go. Bring them all up to Santa Rosa. Let's tee them up and let's go. So we're going to put it to them, because Governor Brown, Moonbeam's going to have to let that report go at some point.
Yeah.
And when we get that report, I don't think it's
about the Tubbs fire, right?
About the Tubbs fire, yeah. And then things are going to get really, really interesting. But things are going well. We're trying to get the insurance stuff finished for our clients, but it's just a slog.
What's the website again?
Firejustice.com.
That's it. You're looking good on those TV spots, boy.
Hey, I'm just 6 days a week. I'm just trying to stay afloat, you know?
Right on. Firejustice.com. Attorney, Santa Rosa attorney Roy Miller.
Good to be
here. Always a pleasure, man.
Anytime.